Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
He's been in the locker room since 2018 and has seen the Chiefs make the AFC title game every year. Coincidence? Who knows? But no one is more plugged into your Chiefs than Nate Taylor of The Athletic.
I know the Chiefs are probably calling teams to be like, hey, sixth round pick, and I don't know if anybody's going to bite on that sort of trade offer.
And he joins CDOT every Friday at 4, right here on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
We are very happy right now to be joined in studio by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. His appearance on The Drive is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Give them a call at 816-221-1750. All right, Nate, let me tell you what I think are the two biggest keys to this game. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs perspective. Something changed with the Chiefs after the loss against the Las Vegas Raiders last year, and they have really just locked in on what their formula is. They really committed to giving Isaiah Pacheco the ball. They started to pare down the wide receiver room, and they really started to go to their top three or four offensive players. Now, that has changed a little bit for Kansas City, but their formula is simple. Give the ball to Kareem Hunt. Get the ball in the middle of the field to Travis Kelce. Let D-Hop work. Play good defense. Repeat win. They do that every single week. For the Buffalo Bills, I think their keys are kind of simple. They've had Kansas City down a couple of times and let them up. Whether it was the 13 seconds where Kansas City goes down the field, they had the ball first and 10 from the Kansas City 27-yard line in the playoff game and then kicked a 44-yard field goal, which they missed, and then they lost the game. Yep. Finish the job if you're Buffalo. If you get Kansas City down, nobody keeps the Chiefs down. They always do something to give the Chiefs just one last chance to beat you, and then the Chiefs take that opportunity to beat you. So for Kansas City, to me, it's just keep doing what you do. Play Kansas City Chiefs football. And for Buffalo, it's just you're going to be in a position where you can beat Kansas City. Can you actually walk through the door and finally do it?
They need to walk through the door. They must walk through the door. I'd argue their whole season has been built on walking through that door because for the Chiefs, this game is important. Yes, I'm sure everybody knows for playoff seeding, for obviously staying undefeated. You know, the sooner you get the one seed, the sooner you can start resting guys, which will obviously be important. This game is paramount to the Buffalo Bills. Carrington, they have to do whatever is necessary to win this game. And I hate it when we as reporters or analysts, just anyone in the media landscape says, you know, kitchen sink game, got to throw everything. I don't love the idea of like somewhere in the middle of the season, it's like, well, now this is a must-win game. But psychologically, I feel like it really is. Because based on everything you laid out, the Bills are a worthy rival to the Chiefs in the AFC, similar to the Baltimore Ravens. But the Bills have a longer history, and Josh Allen is playing really, really well. And don't let them get a chance to walk you down, to chase you, to run past you before the finish line. So I am extremely excited about this game, as I'm sure everybody else is. But at the same time, I just want to make it very clear that, like, for the rivalry to continue and to keep elevating, the Bills need to play well. They need to win this game. They are not as healthy as I think they would have wanted. But at the same time, the Chiefs know who they are. I'm interested to see what this version of Buffalo is in person and if Josh Allen can do what Patrick Mahomes has done so many times, which is, hey, I know the circumstances. I know it's not the most, you know, advantageous situation, but I'm going to find a way to win and galvanize my team behind me. So this game is more important for Buffalo, but I don't have any fear about how the Chiefs are going to come to play on Sunday based off the experience they just lived through last week against the Denver Broncos.
I think this is the Chiefs' most important regular season game since the first time they beat the New England Patriots. You remember.
Really?
They lost to the New England Patriots in the regular season.
Yep.
They then lost in the postseason.
Yep.
And then that year that they get their first championship ring, I think it was really important for them to kind of take that next step where, all right, we finally did it. We can beat the team that everybody says is at the top of it.
Right.
Now, this is different and more important, or I guess this is important in a different kind of way.
Yes.
But when you think of the swing, this game is worth three in the sense of where you are in the tiebreaker standings. If you win this game, you were up four with seven to go.
Crazy.
Buffalo has absolutely no chance of being the one seed if they lose this game.
Correct.
If Kansas City loses this game, you're only up one with seven games to go, and then anything can happen.
Yes.
So just in terms of just one individual game and the weight that it carries, I don't think that he has played a regular season game that has that much importance since that Patriots game I mentioned.
Wow. And that Patriots game was a clear sign of, you know, one team is still rising while another one is trying to maintain, you know, in the twilight of a 20-year run. And the Chiefs did everything necessary in the fourth quarter to win that game. You know, Patrick didn't play amazing that game, I want to remind people, in 2019. But he got the job done. He completed the passes that were necessary in the second half. For this particular Chiefs team, I think they win this game on one reason and one reason only. Is Wanya Morris going to play the entire game? Because if Wanya Morris plays the entire game, Carrington, I think the Chiefs can run the ball. I know Patrick Mahomes can convert on third down. Every statistic, you know, metric tells you that. So can the Buffalo Bills get pressure with four? Can they get pressure on the backside at the left tackle position? That has been the weakest spot of the Chiefs' offensive line. But if you guarantee me that Patrick's going to be upright for all 60 minutes, that he's not going to take on some crazy run of hurries or hits or sacks where, you know, drives are just, you know, destroyed before they really can get started, I know what the offense can do. I know that an argument can be made that the Chiefs got the better player in the trade, you know, whether you want to say Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins. The Buffalo Bills have never been able to cover Travis Kelce. So if you just keep Patrick in a position where he can deliver the ball, whether that's first down to Xavier Worthy on a deep shot, whether that's third down with him having the ability to use his legs to scramble, this is how the Chiefs win this game. And I just think the biggest weakness right now is, you know, based on Wanya Morris's right knee injury, he got through this week of practice. Can he hold up against Gregory Rousseau, Von Miller, whoever is the one that is, you know, across from him on certain important downs? Because if that happens, I think the Chiefs will probably win this game because I still think they have the better coaching staff. They still have the better quarterback. And when you give the quarterback time, he's going to lead you on gotta-have-it drives. And that's one of the best parts of this rivalry is there are so many compelling moments where you can look at both Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and say, hey, man, there was this much time on the clock. This was the scoreboard. You had to go down and get a touchdown. I think the only thing that can disrupt the Chiefs from doing that is Gregory Rousseau or Von Miller creating so much pressure on Patrick that he can't operate the way we're used to watching him.
I want you to think about this during the commercial break. It is 2 minutes left in the game, and the ball is at the 25-yard line. Do you feel more comfortable with the defense taking the field to stop Josh Allen, or do you feel more comfortable with the Chiefs' offense trying to go down the field and score a touchdown? I want to get your thoughts on that. I want to get where we are with Juju Smith-Schuster and his help. Who's going to be the bigger loss for Buffalo, Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid? There's a lot to break down with this game. We got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. We'll be right back.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We got Nate Taylor here. His appearance is brought to you by Mark Ferguson. Go hit him up and his legal team. All right, this is the first question I'll ask you in this segment. It is 2 minutes left in the game. The ball is at the 25-yard line. A touchback has just happened. Do you feel more confident with the defense taking the field, trying to keep Josh Allen out of the end zone, or do you feel more confident with Patrick Mahomes taking the field and the Chiefs needing a touchdown to go win the game?
First off, I love this question. Everybody knows what the answer should be. It should, all right, give the ball to the $500 million quarterback. Nah, baby. Nah, that's not what I want to see. I want to see the Chiefs defense. I would pick the Chiefs defense because Chris Jones is over there. Trent McDuffie's over there. You know, you have Leo Chenal and Nick Bolton and Drew Tranquil. Yes, it's I think it'll still be Nazi Johnson at the other cornerback spot. So that might be like, you know, maybe a matchup that you can exploit. But again, it's gonna be tough with no Keon Coleman and Amari Cooper, you know, obviously playing through the injury that he has on his hand, wrist, the cast that he's wearing. So I love watching Chris Jones in a similar situation where, okay, for the next, to your scenario, for the next 2 minutes, all I get to do is rush the passer. Like, I don't have to worry a ton about the run, maybe in, like, short yardage situations. But now I can find one-on-one matchups. I can collapse the pocket. I can go from the right tackle one play to the left guard the next play to pressuring Josh Allen to maybe forcing him to make a decision quickly in a manner that he doesn't want. You know, we watched it last year. You mentioned it, you know, in the last segment about them being like, okay, we're only down three. We'll kick the field goal. It's windy in Buffalo. I think people need to remember that too, especially for, you know, the Chiefs' new kicker. With Harrison Butker not available, it's windier in Buffalo than it is in most other places outside of like Pittsburgh. So I'll take the Chiefs defense just because Chris Jones is usually the Chiefs closer on defense. And if you give me a scenario where they have to get a stop, what in the hell is Steve Spagnuolo going to cook up on a third down with some blitz that whether he's waited all season to run or all game to run, you know, in some ways, I find that more compelling because I've just seen Mahomes systematically just matriculate the ball down the field, no matter what the other side is trying to do.
Let's get your thoughts on a couple of injury issues I think that has happened.
Uh-huh.
So let's start with Juju, and then we'll get to Harrison Butker here coming up in a bit. Do you think that Juju is going to play on Sunday? Because it certainly sounds like it is trending in that direction.
Yes.
We know no Pacheco. We know no Charles Aminihu. You were expecting Juju to play.
Yes, I'm expecting him to play. That's kind of been the plan all along. From my understanding is that, again, if he got through this week of practice, he was going to be ready to go. If you need to be reminded, it's a right hamstring, not the left hamstring. So just keep that in mind when you're watching the game on Sunday. But they need another outlet. There's going to be times, and I think in an interesting way, there's going to be times where you can run trips on one side of the field where it's, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, DeAndre Hopkins, and Xavier Worthy, And then on the opposite side of the formation is Travis Kelce. Or you could, you know, inverse that however you want to do. But now they have four legitimate, you know, top-of-the-line pass catchers. Everybody knows the playbook. Xavier Worthy's still your deep threat. And if Juju Smith-Schuster gives you four catches for, you know, I don't know, handful of yards, but two of them are on third down and it, you know, converts the drive, then he will have done his part.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor, learning a little bit more about the injury situation right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, we learned a little bit more about Juju. Let's get to Harrison Butker. I don't know if anybody has the answer to this question without seeing it. I would say that Andy is pretty conservative when it comes to aggressiveness on fourth down. The Chiefs are usually on team take the points.
Yep.
I am going to be very intrigued to know if you have the opportunity to go forward on fourth and two or kick a 51-yard field goal, what are you going to do? With Harrison Butker, I think we know that they usually would kick the field goal and feel pretty good about points being on the board.
Yes.
I don't know if you can feel that way with this kicker. He just doesn't have a whole lot of experience. Kicking last week against Arizona in a blowout is a lot different than kicking against Buffalo in a very important game for your team. So what are you expecting from the new kicker that they have? And are you confident that this Harrison Butker issue is just a 3-4 weeks? He's going to be back. He's going to be fully healthy for the postseason.
My understanding is that the Chiefs hope that Harrison Butker is fully healthy by Christmas Day when they play the Pittsburgh Steelers. That could also be the last game where you see most of the starters if the Chiefs need that game to win to ensure themselves the one seed in the AFC. You know, it's been bothering him for a while. Andy Reid said, obviously, the injury got worse in practice this week. So, you know, hey, we need you for January and February. So go ahead and take the procedure now. He had surgery today. And with the new kicker, I wonder if Andy Reid will give Schrader maybe one opportunity in the first half just to kind of see what it's like. So if it's a 48-yard field goal, I think Andy will sort of play on what the result of that decision is. Like, okay, we let you get through your pregame warm-up. You know, we think you're good from, let's say, 50 and in. You don't have a ton of experience, but hey, you know, you're in the NFL for a reason. So if it's a 48-yard field goal in the early second quarter, we're going to kick the field goal. Whether you make it or not kind of depends on my gut feeling in the third and obviously the fourth quarter if we're in a similar territory and it's like fourth and four. So I think that's how Andy Reid will most likely play it. And again, if you are, say, tied with 2 minutes to go, or if Patrick and the Chiefs are down one in the last second drive, you might want to get those extra 10 yards versus just settling on whatever the, you know, projected line is on the screen for CBS. Like, oh, well, you know, this is where we think he can, you know, make a game-winning field goal. No. Get 15, get 10 more yards. Give yourself more of an insurance that that Schrader can make that field goal. But if he misses the first field goal and it is in that 40 to 45 yard range, okay, we need to get ready for 2-point conversions and fourth down plays moving forward.
Yeah, I don't think, and maybe I'm just projecting here with kickers, but in a game of this magnitude, we're talking about this is a life-changing situation for this young man, right?
Yes, yes.
You were on a practice squad. You kicked last week. You impressed the Chiefs enough for them to go grab you off the practice squad, and now you were on the team.
Yep.
And you were going to be the Chiefs kicker for the next 3-4 weeks. You have no chance of winning the job. He might do everything the Chiefs want him to do, but they are going to replace him, right?
At some
point before the end of the season.
Yes.
So you're not just playing for the Chiefs. This is an audition for the rest of the league. If you miss that first field goal from 47 yards, I don't know if they're giving you another opportunity to kick on Sunday in that game. So you want to talk about pressure. There might not be another player in this game that has more pressure on them to perform on Sunday than this Schrader kid.
Yeah, and this ain't Notre Dame anymore, man. This is the NFL. It's going to be raucous in there. The only thing we're really missing from the game, Carrington, we talked about this earlier, This game could have been in like early December. I don't mind that it's in mid-November, like right before Thanksgiving, but it's not going to be like super duper cold. It's not going to be, it's still going to be windy, but it's not going to be like, you're not kicking a brick out there in the second half. So there's no snow. There's no projection of rain for Sunday's game as far as we can tell as of right now. It's going to be in the, you know, low to mid 50s. So, okay. Mostly optimum kicking conditions. So, Spencer, please make the first one because, to your point, everybody's going to be watching this game. CBS and the NFL have told everyone that they could possibly tell, whether it's TV ads, obviously the discussion around the league, that, hey, you're going to be on your couch at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and everybody's going to be watching this game. Like, even Red Zone's going to cut in more to this game than they normally would at any other point earlier this season. There's a reason why CBS is sending their own, you know, pregame crew to Western New York to, you know, to really make this game feel almost like a playoff game. This game, in a weird way, is like an AFC division round or championship type of game. So, Spencer Schrader, please make the first kick because, you know, to your point, Carrington, if he performs well and the Chiefs win, hey, you're one of the top free agents at your position for next offseason.
I mean, next year, I mean, if he has a good 3-4 weeks with the Chiefs, he will be a kicker next year in the National Football League.
Correct.
Someone is going to have them on their roster. We saw you. You were reliable. You kicked well in some high-pressure situations. We want you to be the kicker for the team. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a life-changing opportunity for him if he goes and he balls out. Let me ask you this question, injury-related.
Yeah.
True or false? Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Omenihu play before December.
Yes. I know Charles Omenihu wants to play next week, and that will be up to Andy Reid.
I'm not playing anybody against Carolina. I'm not playing anybody. I'm not playing Isaiah Pacheco against Carolina. I'm not playing any of them.
You want them Carson Steele snaps?
Raiders, okay, fine.
Okay. Black Friday.
You got a game in the division, fine. I'm rushing you back so you can play against Carolina?
If I was Charles Omenihu, here's what I would say. Coach, I need to get, you know, I've been waiting this long. The rehab's gone well. I practiced all this week, all last week. Just give me like 15 snaps. Just let me get my feet up under me. Let me see, you know, obviously this is, I don't want to say this, but like, you kind of treat it like a preseason game. Like, you know, let me get some sweat. Let me get some burn. Let me get some third down rushes. Let me see if I can, you know, just work on some pass rushing moves just to get in a rhythm. And hey, if we up whatever in the second half, then yeah, just sit me down like it's a preseason game. But I know Omenihu is like dying to get on the field next week. And for Pacheco, there might be a better understanding of like, hey, how's Kareem doing? If Kareem needs more of a break, based on the amount of carries and the touches he's been given since he joined the team in your absence, I should say, then yeah, we might want to play you against Carolina again for similar reasons. But if Kareem can take much of the bulk, if you still have Carson Steele, who you want to give more experience to because he's a rookie, then okay, that's fine. Then you save him for the Raiders on a short week on Black Friday. So I understand that. But I do think they will play before December.
Who comes back, Harrison Butker or Hollywood Brown?
Both.
Wow.
Yeah, I think both. Harrison Butker is, I would say, obviously the higher percentage player to come back. And he needs, again, I think this is why I've circled it on the calendar. The reason why I say Harrison Butker likely is going to come back and likely needs to come back by Christmas is because he needs a couple games in, again, much different conditions, cold weather, windy, to get into a groove himself, to make sure that, you know, everything goes fine from a kicking operation execution before, you know, the season's literally on the line, you know, in whatever divisional game. So obviously he would kick against the Steelers on Christmas Day. The Broncos, as of right now, scheduled for January 5th. We'll see what the NFL does with that schedule because that game might be more important for Denver to get into the playoffs than obviously the Chiefs. With Hollywood Brown, I think the Chiefs will give him every opportunity possible to come back if he can get through practice, if there's no real setback. Obviously, it's a freak injury because it's the shoulder. It's a contact sport. You're going to get hit. We know that Tyreek came back with a very similar issue earlier in the season. He did not need surgery to fully repair it. But, again, kind of in that similar window, can you be practicing with the team by the time the Chiefs are preparing to play the Houston Texans on December 21st to where we might get you on the field in a very limited role on Christmas Day against the Pittsburgh Steelers? And then if we want to see a little bit more of you, whether that's with Carson Wentz or with Patrick, you know, more likely Carson Wentz at this point, then, hey, you can run routes against the Denver Broncos, get a full game in. Now we know exactly what we want to do to polish your role in the offense ahead of the postseason. So my understanding is the rehab's gone well for Hollywood Brown, that he is determined to come back, and that the Chiefs, understanding the circumstances and the fact that he's obviously talented, you probably want to give that player an opportunity because he's going to be a free agent next season, but he also wants to demonstrate to the team that he's on right now that he can obviously return next year with the team and obviously be a, you know, important part of the offense.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Coming up in a bit, we'll give you a chance to win our final pizza of the week, 913-586-7965. I'll let you know what you need to do to get that. I am curious to get your thoughts on who you think the X factor could be. The last time that these two teams played each other, MVS had two catches for 62 yards. He had two big pass plays. That was a significant difference in the game. Of course, you had Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice, and Travis Kelce, but you had that other offensive player to kind of give you a little bit of a boost. Who do you think that could possibly be in this game? Rob thinks that it could be Noah Gray. I have Xavier Worthy. They've been real close these last couple of weeks.
Yep.
They should have had the long completion against Tampa Bay. It is not his fault that it was an incompletion last week against the Broncos. Pat just threw the ball out of bounds. He didn't even give Xavier Worthy a chance to make a play in that scenario. They've been really close, and you and I have watched enough NFL to know that CBS already has the package together of how Buffalo traded him to. You can already see after he has a big pass play for 20 yards that they're going to tell the story that we already know. So that's who I have. I have Xavier Worthy. Who do you have as the X factor on Sunday?
I agree. Xavier Worthy. This is it, man. This is just like opening night, right? This is back when everybody was mostly healthy. So, you know, what the Chiefs showed the Baltimore Ravens was like, hey, man, and the rest of the league. Everybody was watching, of course. It was the only game on for opening night. Hey, guess what, kids? We back. Here's, you know, hilariously elite speed. Here's some deep completions. Patrick Mahomes is going to be throwing the ball downfield more. Look, we still got a very good offensive line, right? So that game was pretty clear to me that, like, yeah, we want to show off our new toy. And now, after a little bit of struggle, which is totally normal in a rookie season, like, nope. I mean, I don't even remember what Justin Jefferson did in his rookie season, but I'm like, I'm sure at some point in the October, November weeks, it was like, people are adjusting to him. He's got to learn. He's got to get, you know, he's got to break through some of the struggles that you have as a young professional.
Rob, we have a circle of trust that we do on this show. Rob has removed Xavier Worthy from the circle of trust.
What?
I still have him inside the circle of trust.
Hey,
is he inside your circle of trust?
Yes, you got to give him this week. Hey, they ain't want you. They let us trade for you.
So you're saying that he's on the cusp of being kicked out of the Nate Taylor circle of trust.
I just want to see one more week.
Okay, one more week.
What if he's 2 for 22 on Sunday?
That ain't it, kid. That ain't it. And so, I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, y'all. I'm like, hey, it's hard being a rookie. You know, the season's much longer. Like, you know, give him some leeway. Hey, son, we don't need 2 for 22. We can't work with that.
This is the analogy that I made, and I want to run it by you. This is the analogy that I made.
Yes.
I am not concerned with his batting average this year. How many home runs do you hit? He was never a guy that I thought was going to be 5 for 60.
Oh, for sure.
Can he be 2 for 45?
Please.
And have one big pass play that kind of changes the course of the game?
Because
in the last, I guess, 6 weeks since that big catch against the Chargers, he has not had an impact on whether they win or lose. Mm. He has 90 receiving yards and he has minus 2 rushing yards in the last 5 games. So he has just not been a significant factor. At some point, he's just going to hit another home run. Could it be Sunday against Buffalo?
I think it is. I think they're going to have some play designed to where they're going to find a matchup. And look, it's not like Buffalo has some amazing secondary, okay? They have a good defense. They largely have a good front seven, even without Matt Milano, who, you know, has been obviously one of their best defensive players over the course of this rivalry. But look, like, Xavier Worthy can run by anybody on the secondary line for the Buffalo Bills. So now it's about protection, of course, in windy conditions. Can Patrick deliver the ball to where he can go run after it and sort of track it on his own? This is the perfect opportunity. Like, you got to remind your contender that they let you do this, that they let you get away with this. So, hey, DeMar Hamlin, it's amazing that you're on the field. Congratulations.
Don't run any more fake punts.
Well, that too.
they ran a fake punt in the fourth quarter to DeMar Hamlin.
You
deserve to lose.
Of course. I mean, Christian Benford's better. I mean, Taylor Rapp? You tell me Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin are your safeties. Yeah, man, we got to go over the top 4 times. And one of them got a pop. So DeMar Hamlin is a good football player, a inspirational football player, a person that is remarkable and an example of courage, perseverance, and dedication to the game. He cannot keep up with Xavier Worthy. So if Tyler Rapp and DeMar Hamlin are worried about Travis Kelce, maybe Juju Smith-Schuster coming across the middle, who knows what DeAndre Hopkins is doing on the opposite side of the field on the outside, then, yeah, this is the game where I need to see it. You know, whether it's, again, to your point, similar to the Chargers game where Patrick just said, I'm going to throw it up 60 yards and let you run under it. Whether they want to use that speed kind of like against the Ravens where, like, hey, it's an end around, let you get on the edge, let you just run by people. This would be a great opportunity to see it because Rasul Douglas is their best defensive back, and I think based on his profile and DeAndre Hopkins, that is who he will likely be with. Tyron Johnson is their nickel corner. I can see some couple matchups there. But really, it's about can you get past the second level, and that is Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin. These are not the same guys that Tyreek Hill blew past in the, you know, divisional round a couple years ago when they had some of the best safeties in the league. They're getting away with it because AJ Epenesa is good, Von Miller is obviously who he is, and Gregory Russo and Ed Oliver are just eating the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, they need that 4-2 speed on Sunday.
We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic here. We're going to give you one final chance to win a pizza, 913-586-7965. We need one caller. Please do not embarrass us. We got company here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, Nate Taylor, you were here last week when our company, they embarrassed themselves a little bit. You remember,
mm-hmm.
We played the game. How many Broncos starting quarterbacks could you name? Nobody could name any. We are going to try to play this game
one more time.
We are going to go from Jim Kelly's last start to Josh Allen's first start.
Whoa!
There are 19 quarterbacks in the middle between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen.
Oh, I know my favorite one already.
Cody, we are going to give you 30 seconds. The rules are very simple. Cody, you are going up against another Cody, Cody Tapp. If you get as many or more, then Cody Tapp will give you a pizza from our friends over at the other place. If not, we will hang up on you and we will give your pizza to somebody on the text line. Cody, do you understand the rules from Jim Kelly to Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're gonna put 30 seconds on the board. All right, Rob, on your mark, get set, go.
Doug Flutie, Fitzmagic.
Yes.
Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
Case Keenum.
I think. No, sorry.
No, Case Keenum wasn't?
No, he was not.
No, he wasn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
All right, we'll put you on hold here. You got three quarterbacks, three out of the 19. Let's see if Cody Tapp does a little bit better. If he doesn't, we'll hang up on you, Cody, on the phone, and we will give the pizza to somebody on the text line. Let's hear if Cody Tapp knows his Buffalo Bills quarterbacks.
J.P. Lossman.
Wow.
Tyrod Taylor. I mean, those are at least two of the guys who started.
J.P.
God, can I even name another Bills quarterback? Kyle Orton get a start there or something? Feels like he got to start with every team in the league. God, who else? Who's the quarterback? I don't know. I don't know that I know any other besides him. That might just be the two. I think this guy's going to win.
All right.
I got him at three because Kyle Orton did. He didn't know it, but Kyle Orton
did start for the Buffalo Bills.
Tie.
We have a tie. Tie goes to the runner. Cody on the phone. You are the winner of Jim Kelly to Josh Allen. There are way too many quarterbacks to name here. A couple of them, Matt Barkley. Also got a start. Nathan Peterman got a start for them. Remember EJ Manuel got a start. Trent Edwards. Remember Trent Edwards from Stanford? He also got a start for them. One of my favorites, Alex Van Pelt. Van Pelt was one of those quarterbacks that started for the Buffalo Bills. It was dark times is what it was. Dark times.
Can I remind you? I'm going to look at the box score just to make sure. Ooh, buddy, yeah. The date, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot believe this was November 19th, 2017. They said, hey, Tyrod, we trying to make the playoffs, son. Come over here. Let's put Nathan Peterman in the game. C-Dot, he threw five interceptions in a game.
He did.
He had six completions, five interceptions.
He's the worst quarterback I've ever seen. Nathan Peterman's the worst quarterback we've ever seen. I do want to ask you a Josh Allen question. If I set the over-under on Super Bowl appearances for Josh Allen at 1.5, are you taking the over or the under? Does Josh Allen make at least two Super Bowls in his career?
No.
Wow, you're taking the under.
I'm taking the under.
Is there any quarterback currently in the league that you would take two?
Yes. Not named Patrick Mahomes,
yeah.
We're assuming. I just want to remind people, Josh Allen is 28 years old. He's at the peak of his powers. He plays a game somewhat similar to Cam Newton. He be taking them hits, y'all.
He's not playing until he's 40. Not like this.
Not like this. So I want him to cash in on one of these opportunities. I will give him the benefit of the doubt that he will at least lead the Buffalo Bills to one Super Bowl. Getting to two is really hard because you're obviously in the same era as Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, who people have started to forgotten, but I ain't forgot because he has a legitimate coach now, and they're going to start to give him weapons. And, you know, Joe Burrow, I mean, it's a gauntlet in the AFC. I haven't even mentioned C.J. Stroud. So it's tough. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger would – in some ways be one of the examples. I know Chris Jones sort of said that to us yesterday. Like he's a more, you know, he's a more new and improved version of Ben Roethlisberger. But, you know, Ben got to the Super Bowl, what, three times? He won two of them. It was a 2011 Super Bowl, I believe. They lost to the Green Bay Packers. So that might be the peak of what Josh Allen could replicate as far as being a Hall of Fame level quarterback who – you know, can hopefully, maybe, Lord willingly, give the Buffalo Bills their first ever Super Bowl win. But it's tough, man, because Patrick Mahomes is, what, 29, 30?
And he's certainly going to age a lot more gracefully than what we think Josh Allen is.
Not great. I mean, hey, man, everybody, like, you don't want to be Reggie Miller. You don't want to be, you know, Patrick Ewing. You don't want to be Charles Barkley, but man, sometimes you just Sometimes you're just in the wrong era.
I'll get you out of here with this, Nate. Give me one key for a Buffalo win. Give me one key for a Chiefs win.
For Buffalo, as I said earlier, they need to sack Patrick just as many times as the Denver Broncos did, which I believe was, what was it, four? I can double check that. But they need to hit and sack Patrick the same amount of times the Broncos did the week before, obviously.
You know what? Let me actually cut you off. Let me ask you this. I guess I'll ask you this instead. Let me ask you this. Let's say that Wanya Morris goes down with an injury in the middle of the first quarter. Are they putting Kingsley at left tackle, or are they moving Joe Tooney over to left tackle?
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle. And then the question becomes, is Mike Caliendo, who has limited experience and is a veteran, but he's no Nick Allegretti, can Caliendo be serviceable at the left guard spot? Because for as much as people are pleading for Joe Tooney to go to left tackle, if Wanya Morris goes down, guys, he's one of the best left guards in the league right now. He is like Hall of Fame, all pro level player. So he can't necessarily be that at left tackle. He can be, stabilizing. But you're opening yourself up to be weak at two spots instead of having that one spot be a weakness and the coaching staff trying to scheme things around that. So we haven't seen Mike Caliendo this season. That's a credit to Joe Tooney and Trey Smith. But I do believe that we would not see Kingsley Suamata in that situation.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us in studio, getting you ready for Chiefs and Bills on Sunday. Have a safe flight. Congratulations, man. Happy that you are joining us in studio. Look forward to breaking this game down with you next week whenever you join us in studio.
Yes.
Coming up on the other side, we will cover all things Chiefs and Bills in the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.